Good morning. What a joy to be with you this day. It is wonderful that we can come together as brothers and sisters in Christ to praise our God, to express our love up to Him, and share our love for one another. Our God is mighty, our God is good, and He loves us dearly. Amen. How would you categorize your speech? Would it reveal you're an optimist or a pessimist? Would your speech reveal that you are an encourager or a discourager? Would it reveal that you build people up or tear people down? Or that you're always positive or you're always negative? I remember one time when I was little, my daddy was severely rebuking me. And he turned to leave, and I muttered something under my breath. And he stopped and turned around, and in the firmest voice I think I've ever heard, said, "What did you say?" "Oh, nothing, Dad. You tell me what you said." And I told him, and I got the beating of my life. Our tongue can either be a blessing or a curse. There was a woman named Lydia. And she was on the way to the community planning meeting. She had this dream of creating a community garden. She was filled with hope. She got to the meeting. She anxiously awaited her turn to speak. And it came, and she got to tell everybody about this conception of a community garden. And she envisioned people working together and fresh vegetables and children learning all about nature. And then one retired man raised his hand, Mr. Griggs, and he said, "A garden? Here? Who wants that? Why, you wouldn't be able to keep the weeds out of it. They'd be overgrown within a week. You couldn't keep people from stealing your produce. I mean, nobody wants that." Well, Lydia very politely smiled, but something inside of her wilted. And she no longer talked about the garden. And at the planning meeting, she stopped going. Oh, Mr. Griggs didn't really scream or holler at her. No cursing, no vulgarity. But his speech was filled with cynicism. And her hope and her excitement died over one man's words. We can use our words for good, or we can use our words for evil. It's up to us. James said, "If a man thinks he is righteous, yet does not bridle his tongue and deceives his heart, his religion is vain." James 1:26. Well, I want to invite you to open your Bibles to James chapter 3. Our lesson this morning is concentrating on the way we speak. As children of God, our speech should reveal the joy of our salvation. Our speech should reveal that Jesus is living in me. Our speech should build up and not tear down. Let's read James chapter 3, the first 5 verses. "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ship also, though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they're guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things." Well, to control my speech, I must understand the truth about the tongue. And James says the tongue is small but powerful. And he uses 3 illustrations. First, he talks about a very large horse. Horses are massive. They can weigh up to 2,000 pounds. They rushed into battle on the battlefield. But even a little child can control such a massive creature. How? because we put a small bit in their mouth, the most tenderest part of the horse. And when you pull at it, it hurts. Have you ever had a little kid stick their fingers in your mouth and pull your face apart? It hurt. Well, that's what's going on with the horse. The bit hurts. So he immediately responds. So Paul says, oh, you be sure to understand, the tongue is so small, pound for pound, it's nothing. But it is so powerful. He also says that the tongue is not only powerful, but it is also, what would you think? It is also very dangerous. James returns to the illustration of fire. Look at verses 6 through 8. He says, the tongue is a fire, a word of unrighteousness, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, straining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. A small spark can create such a dangerous fire. We have had massive forest fires in our nations over the past 10 years. People have lost their homes, all their possessions, because someone flicked a cigarette butt out their window. Strike of lightning. Someone didn't put their campfire out correctly. And it just blazed into a tremendous fire. Dangerous. Do you know you can use your tongue the same way? One little snide remark can set things into motion. Do you remember the Chicago fire of 1871? I think everyone studied that in school. But a fire started in the city of Chicago. They believed a cow kicked over a lantern in the O'Leary's barn. But that fire burnt a third of the city, over 1,000 residents. It's estimated that it displaced 3,200 people. 3,200 people lost their homes because of a small fire. Well, as we notice how we use our tongues to speak, James says, no human can tame their tongue. And he gives the illustration how we can tame wild beasts. I remember when I was little, I went to the circus. And they had tamed an elephant to stand on its head. They had tamed lions and tigers to react to the crack of a whip. They had tamed monkeys to jump through hoops of fire. And man's been able to tame wild animals. Now, we don't have that today because of animal cruelty. But we can control wild animals, but we cannot control our own tongue. But with God's help, we can. And that's what God wants us to do, is to take control over the things we say. The tongue is uncontrollably dangerous, but the tongue is also inconsistent. And James brings up two illustrations. Let's read verses 9 through 12. He says, with it, that is with the tongue, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring bring forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Well, James says that we use our voices, our tongues, to praise God. We've just been singing praises to glorify His name. We have gone to God in prayer, and we've done all this. And then 10 minutes after worship, someone will berate their wife on the way home. Or they'll demoralize their children. Or they'll cast all their brothers and sisters in Christ into the pits of hell. He used two rhetorical questions. Can a grapevine bring forth figs? No. Grapevine brings forth grapes. Can a fig tree bring forth olive berries? No, fig trees produce figs and olive trees produce olives. He said, can a pond, a pool, have both fresh water and salt water at the same time? Absolutely not. A spring cannot bring forth fresh and salt water at the same time. He says, you cannot use your mouth for good and turn around and use it for evil. That's inconsistent of who we are as children of God. Remember, we're supposed to be letting people see Jesus in me. And if I use my mouth for good, I come and praise God, but I turn around and lose control of my tongue and speak evil, hateful words, that's not consistent with who I am as a child of God. James wants us to understand that our tongues can be dangerous, powerful, inconsistent, and that should not be so. Well, how do we respond to this reality today? Do we just give up and give in, speak like the rest of the world? That's one place we can really differentiate ourselves from the world, is by how we speak. It seems like today the nation's language has gone to filth, and you can't have a conversation without someone's throwing in a cuss word or something vulgar. It's almost like you can letter in foul speech. James says, no. Well, to control my speech, I must understand God's plan for taming the tongue. Oh, God has a plan for what we're due. He calls upon us to avoid the improper use of the tongue. Well, excuse me. Go back a slide, please. I wasn't finished. He said, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That's how we should be using our tongues. But there are things we should avoid. Obscenity. We should avoid things that tear people down. We should avoid things that approves of someone's vice or sin. Let me suggest to you that we should avoid profane and vulgar speech. That's not consistent with who you are as a child of God. No profanity should come out of our mouths. Even if we lose our temper, that's not an excuse. We should never speak of vulgar things. Not only that, we should avoid complaining and arguing. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 14 and 15. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. We're talking about how we use our tongue. In verse 14, he says, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Oh, Paul tells the Philippians so much here. He says, you stop grumbling, you stop complaining. He says that you are innocent children of God, and you're supposed to be the light in the world. And if you don't use your tongue for that fashion, you're not shining. You're not showing people Jesus. You're not showing them how you're living to worship and praise Him. We should also avoid gossip and slander. Proverb writer said, Proverbs 20:19, he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with the gossip. New American Standard Bible. I like the way the Holman Bible translates it. The one who reveals secrets is a constant gossip, and avoid someone with a big mouth. We can do tremendous damage, even in the church, when we use our words inappropriately. And that's what Scripture, God wants us to understand. We should ask, why am I speaking about this person that way? I think next to apathy, gossip is one of Satan's major tools he uses to tear people down and discourage them. We should also avoid lying. Oh, we don't think anything of it today. People, it says people lie all day long. We tell little white lies. But you know what? Revelation 21:8 says, all liars go to hell. So we should learn to always tell the truth, even if it is going to get us into trouble. We always speak the truth as children of God. We should avoid, or also in Colossians 3:9, we're told, do not lie to one another. We should avoid negative speech. We should avoid speech that tears down. We should avoid anything that criticizes a person or something else. There is a time for constructive criticism, but it must be done with love and all meekness. Galatians 6:1. God's plan calls for us to focus on the proper use of the tongue. And he says we do that by using our tongues to praise, to pray, to confess, and offer thanksgiving. I mean, we've been praising God with our tongues all morning. We have gone to him in prayer. We're to use our tongues to confess when we sin against God, because our sin separates us from God. And we should be using our tongues continually, offering up praise for God's goodness and the blessings he bestows upon us. Another proper use of the tongue is we should use our tongue to teach others about salvation in Christ. Is that not what we've been commissioned to do? Matthew 28:19, go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them all things I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Our commission by God is to go out and teach. Mark 16:15, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So yes, we should be using our tongues to help people learn of Jesus. That's the greatest thing you could ever use your tongue for, with a friend, with a neighbor, with a co-worker, with someone you just met, to tell them about salvation in Christ. That will set their eternity to be a blessing instead of a curse. We should be using our tongues to encourage and build up. The proverb writer, Proverbs 25:11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. Paul told the Thessalonians, therefore encourage one another and build each other up. Is that how we're using? You know, we talk about that a lot, but do we actually do it, even in the church? Do we strive to encourage each other to build up our faith? Do we strive to encourage one another to be steadfast, unmovable? Encourage one another to trust in God, regardless of what you're going through in life. We're a family, and we're all striving to go to heaven. And the best thing we can do for one another is encourage each other in our faith. And to encourage each other about how we're to be different from the world. How we are different because we're children of God. Well, so I understand there's a proper use and improper use of the tongue. I understand God says there's a proper and improper use of the tongue. But what if I have a problem with it? To control my speech, I must ask how to control my tongue. We're told to ask God for help. God loves us. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 49. It's such a wonderful verse where God states how he loves us, wants to help us. Oh, it's not Isaiah 49, it's Isaiah 41. So change that in your outline. It's Isaiah 41, verse 10. God says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. God says he's going to do what is best for us. I may need to be praying for God to help me control my tongue. Philippians 4:13, Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So if I'm using my tongue inappropriately, then who better to ask for guidance than our Lord God Almighty? Have you ever been told when you're angry, you need to stop and count to 10 before you say anything? Have you ever had anyone say to you, you need to be very careful about what's fixing to come out of your mouth? So when we're struggling, let's seek God's help. And we need to be slow to speak. Do you remember James saying we should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger? Proverbs 10, verse 19 says, when there are many words, transgression is unavoidable. But he who restrains his lips is wise. Or you may need to have heart surgery. Well, what do you mean I may need to have heart surgery? Look what Jesus said. He said, you brood of vipers, how can you being evil speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his heart good things, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. I may need to be asking God to remove the evil things out of my heart. Eventually, your lips are going to reveal what is in your heart. And if I have things that shouldn't be there, I need to ask God for help. David cried out, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I may need heart surgery. And then I need to remember that I'm going to meet my words again one day in judgment. That my words will come back to me. Jesus says, on the day of judgment, people will give an account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. Every idle word, every careless word, every thoughtless word, every malicious word that accomplishes no good, I'm going to give an account. Here, every wicked, every injurious, every malicious, every false word. Well, now, as we think about our speech this past week, would our tongue condemn us or justify us? Now, let's be blatantly honest with ourselves. Do I have a problem with my tongue? Do I need to cry out to God for help? You know, our tongue should be expressing the words of David. When David said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Are you here this morning as a child of God? And you need to come to God today to say, Father, I've used my tongue inappropriately. I need you to heal me. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian, but you're ready to be baptized into Christ Jesus. We have water ready. We can fully immerse you. You can arise pure and holy in the sight of God. If you need to come to our Lord and Savior today, we encourage you to respond in the front now as we stand and sing.